Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Managing Digital.
And we're recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community, 18 Kent Street West in downtown Lindsay. And with us today, we have Sean Ragle. And Sean showed up in Thrive one day a few months ago and has his own business, and we thought we'd get him right on the podcast. So I'll let you introduce yourself.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Brian and Matt. My name is Sean Ragle. I run a digital marketing agency that helps businesses grow online, is the simplest way to put it.
Yeah. Awesome. This is our second time we've had a digital marketing company on. I was resistant for ages.
I think you should fight.
Yeah. No competitors on the podcast.
It was actually Unwrapped that introduced us.
Yes.
He didn't just show up.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. So, like, I know Jess.
Awesome. For, friend of the show.
Friend of the show, like, for 10 probably years, maybe more. I can't remember now. And, yeah, I got an email from Sean, and I think I replied relatively quickly.
Yeah, you were on it. Yeah,
I don't normally.
You were on top of it.
Honestly, I probably wouldn't have replied unless, except for the fact that you said you knew Jess. Mm-hmm. And I, frankly, like I'll get emails often, like, oh, I met so and so. They said they'd have coffee, and like your digital marketer. Some of me is like, but I was like, no, I'll talk to you. And like, you're one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Oh well, thank you. I know what you mean about those like referrals. I don't want to meet this person. The how much I know Jess is very loose. I'm putting that in quotes for the listeners. But I mean, I just stopped in her store one day, and I love that store. It's awesome, and my wife and I go there a lot. And you know, we're new to the area, we're new to town. And, you know, it kind of all comes back to a couple months ago, like back in October 2023. We had just moved into Lindsay, like, in the summer. So July, we moved into the Kawarthas, and we came up from Oshawa. And a friend had been telling me, you know, he had done a similar move from Toronto out to Peterborough a couple of years back. And he was basically saying, and he was telling me, you know, you're going to be one of these small towns, like, you have to get out there. Like, you have to go and just be out in the community and intentionally try and talk to more people. He was like, this isn't like a place like Toronto or Oshawa where you can just, like, float around your days just being pretty anonymous. He's like, you're going to get to know people, and you should get to know people and, like, and build some community. And he was right, and it was really good advice. So I was basically trying to kind of, you know, live that advice everywhere I went. And so I was like, you know, I should actually try to talk to people. And then I, you know, ran into Jess at her store. I was talking to her about the store, mentioned that I run a small business as well. And then when I described a bit of about what I do, that's when she said, you should talk to Matt. Because she was like, sounds like you guys would get along great. And she was right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'm often introduced to people that are like, hey, I want to start doing digital marketing. And I don't have the... I don't know how to say it, the ability anymore to spend time like coaching and mentoring people, but you're really smart. You know your stuff. You're very established, I believe. I think you've already been successful. So it was cool, and like I liked what you're doing. We thought we have very similar beliefs. We joked a lot about software ad copy and how it's all the same, and I used to love and hate doing it. And yeah, I saw a lot of you and me. Hopefully that's a compliment.
Thanks. Yeah, no, it is. It definitely is. Yeah, and I feel like there's a lot of benefit in like talking to peers or like doing similar things, because you're like, oh, you can just ask each other a bunch of questions, you know, learn from each other. It's definitely really valuable. I've been finding, like, even just talking to you, I talked to one or two other agency owners as well, and the amount of like fresh, not even just fresh ideas, but like a fresh perspective you get on what feels like a huge problem in your business. And to you, you're like, I don't know how I do this. And then someone just tells you one thing, and you're like, it just changes your way of thinking. And yeah, so that's why I was like, I got to talk to this guy, and I got to reach out. But also I'm just trying to just, you know, we moved up here. I don't know anyone. Like, we really just know a small handful of people in town. And it was like, I should talk to other people. And like, yeah, talking to other business owners makes sense, because, you know, I'm in that position as well. So yeah, that's kind of the thinking there. And try to, and for me, it's not even like the nice thing about it is, for me, it's not even really from like a sort of like business perspective of like, I need to go to talk to business owners and get more clients and drum up business. It's not that for me, which I'm like happy about. It's more of just like an organic, like I just want to actually get to know people and, and talk to people and make some new friends. So yeah.
Are we new friends now?
We can be friends, yeah.
I like this, yeah.
We can be friends. Can I be friends too?
Yeah, you can be friends. And if we go golfing, then we'll definitely be friends.
Yeah. I felt a bit weird about that because I think, yeah, I met you and then like 2 days later, I needed somebody. I was like, Sean said he'd golf, but randomly, like, I know I just met you, but can you golf like tonight?
Awesome. And did you go?
I wish I could have. It was like the night before my daughter's like birthday party, or like 2 days before her birthday party.
We were hosting. It was a very last minute invite. Like something fell apart and I was like scrambling.
Yeah, it was literally like, can you come in 2 hours? And I was seeing it an hour before and I was like, shoot, oh no. And I have this like somewhat loose rule of like, when you meet someone and you're like sort of starting a friendship or relationship with someone, the first thing they invite you to, you gotta go. Like that's the foundation of like kicking off like, you know, a next step or somewhat any type of relationship, business, like personal friendship. And I was like, I said that to my wife, and I was like, oh, Matt invited me to this thing. Like, I should go, but I literally can't tonight. Like, I just actually can't. And yeah.
That's such a funny thought. Yeah. I see where you're coming from. I didn't think of it that way. We're cool. I think about that with other people that ask me to do stuff where I'm like, oh, I've said no a couple times. I do this with Brian. Brian will invite me a couple things, and I'm like, I can't go. And then I'm like, well, I've said no a lot. I gotta go to this one.
Either just go to the stuff you like going to.
Yeah, fair.
It's funny to me, though. Wow, this is like another sidetrack, but Matt's great with his boundaries and things he wants to do. And my favorite was your wife was having a surprise birthday party for you, and I kind of knew about it, but you were like so grumpy about the activities you had to do beforehand. And that was just, we won't dive into it, but yeah.
Show up
to the things you like to show up to.
I was so mad because the week before, I'd gone away for 2 nights golfing with a couple friends. And then on the drive back, the one friend was like, one of the friends was like, oh, we're going to this like golf tournament next Friday. You still want to go? I was like, yeah, for sure. And the other friend's like, oh, yeah, and then we're golfing on Saturday. And this friend never takes initiative. Good friend, but like he's never like the plan driver. He's like, oh, we're golfing next Saturday. And like he never does that. We never golf on Saturdays. Yeah. It's always like, that's when I'm home with my kids. I'm not going out. And then it was like, we're going to golf next Saturday at like 1 p.m. I'm like, what is happening? I was so mad. And like the week before, I was away from my kids for a couple days. And I was like so now in hindsight, I'd see why that would have been very funny for you.
Yeah, that was really funny for me. And I was trying not to like needle it at all because I didn't want to lead you to like the surprise. So
yeah,
that was
it. Was it a surprise, or are you gonna reveal now on air?
No, it was that my friend asking me to golf, it was so suspicious. Not him asking me to golf, but just again like the way it all came about was so unnatural for him and I that I was like, this is weird.
Yeah.
And I even went home to my wife and I was like, Steve wants to golf with me and like I don't want to and this and that, and she's like, you should go. And I was like, this is weird.
Because she's other weird.
Yeah, she's all for me golfing. She's really, really, really good and supportive. But it's always been a very clear boundary of on Saturday and Sunday you are not golfing. You're home with the kids.
Yeah,
which is fine. And I want that, and I'm fine with that. So then she was like, no, like, Steve must really want to, like, go for your birthday. Just go. And I was like, that's weird. That's it was just strange. That conversation, like, this is weird. Everything was just weird. But anyways.
Fun times. Back to your business.
Business. Sorry.
I'm curious, you know, I love having, and for the listeners, a couple of things we can break down. One is both digital marketers here in the room. Sometimes people see it as competition, which I think is so silly, because every really good marketer I know, they work with like a handful of clients relatively, and there are
hundreds of businesses on this street that need digital marketing, so it's not really competition. And I find everyone kind of has their own persona or type of business they work with, and I find yours is really curious, so I'd love for you to just tell the listeners kind of the nature of the businesses you work with.
Yeah, it is a bit strange. So, like, the companies I typically work with are B2B software companies. So that's about as uncool and unsexy as it gets.
Well, I think it's cool.
I think people think software companies are cool.
Maybe tech sounds a lot cooler, for sure. So I often do tell people, oh, tech. I just use that as a shorthand. But when you say tech, people are thinking, oh, that's so cool. Like, wow, Tesla and SpaceX. And, you think of, like, these exciting tech companies. And then I'm like, no, it's actually accounting software and HR software. And when you, like, work at a big corporation and you get hired there and you have to do your onboarding, it's the onboarding and the employee training software, and I'm helping to market those companies and help them get more clients. But it is fun in that, I mean, I don't want to lie, it's not fun. It's fun is the wrong word. It is good, and it's good. It's a good business. But the sort of backstory on it was, most of my career has been in tech and in software companies. So I started working at tech and media companies in Toronto, just like right out of university. And then I joined my first startup back in 2015. I joined a startup that was based out of Vancouver. And I think I was the third hire on the team. There was the two co-founders, one other engineer, one salesperson, and I was the third hire, a marketer. And that was basically the next 3 years of that startup was really like the wildest ride of my life. And, we grew, we added more teammates in. So they were based in Vancouver, we had a small office in Toronto, we opened an office in New York, and we were growing teammates across all three, and really grew that business. It did well, a whole bunch of changes to it over the years as startups, as startups go. And that sort of is what really solidified my love for like tech and software and startups, really. To be honest, really what I like is startups more than anything.
Oh, awesome.
I think more than just, whatever the type of business is. And so, yeah, that kind of started my career in like tech and software. And I've just basically been there since, working at a handful of different startups. And then the pandemic hit and, I was impacted by that. I had recently joined a company just 3 months before that. And so it was one of those, last one in, first one out kind of things. And that's when I basically started working for myself and freelancing, because, the pandemic was like June 2020, pandemic, no end in sight. And I was just like, okay, I really don't want a full-time job. Maybe I should try freelancing and working for a handful of different companies. And that's really how my business started, was that it was just a freelancing operation. I just had a couple clients. I was lucky enough to just use my own network. And people I'd met over the last few years to get some quick early wins with clients. And that kind of has just basically snowballed into now. The agency, it's really still small. It's myself, two employees right now, a handful of, contractors and freelancers, and just a handful of clients, but pretty much all in that software and tech space.
I think that's so cool. Can you say the name of the company you work for in Vancouver?
Yeah. The company was named Pressboard.
Okay.
So they're based in Vancouver. They're actually still a client, which is great. They got acquired in 2022 by a large company named Impact. That is a bigger advertising. So Pressboard was an ad tech platform.
Oh, okay.
And so it was like platform. It was a tech platform that helped advertisers create sponsored content with, like, so imagine you're reading Toronto Star and you'll see an article on Toronto Star that's like sponsored by Ford.
Oh, yeah.
And so we were the platform behind that, measured everything in the back end on those sponsorships for advertisers and publishers. And so I worked with them for 3 years, great relationship with the founder and everyone there, and still loved them and stayed close. And then once I started freelancing a couple years later in 2020, they were happy to work with me again, thankfully. And yeah, still going strong now.
I love just the B2B software. When you look at the wide world of businesses out there and the problems people are solving, And we always think of these, you know, big tech startups or big tech companies that, you know, get famous and everyone hears about them. But there's so many just tools that are so good that unless you're in it, you like never hear about it. Yet there's such a good business for it because businesses that need them and use them, they're so valuable.
Exactly. For.
So you need good marketing to like find out those things exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. The big challenge with like most B2B, the shorthand for it is B2B SaaS, which SaaS stands for software as a service. So really we're just talking about software. But the big challenge with the marketing of those companies is that it tends to be a higher cost to purchase those products, right? Yeah. So let's say you're the VP of HR at like, you know, TD Bank, and you're trying to buy, you know, and you're trying to integrate some new payroll software. You're talking about like a major purchase for thousands of employees that's impacting like a lot of people. It's a big purchase. It's an expensive piece of software. And so these buying cycles for those take a long time.
Yeah.
So that's the big challenge we run up against is where it's almost no one other than really, you know, inexpensive software used by maybe a startup. Maybe someone on a startup would decide, hey, I need a software to do this task. They'll go on a website, find the software, you know, enter their credit card and start using it that day. But when you start to get larger and, you know, talk about enterprise things, these are like, you know, 3 months, 6 months decisions sometimes. So that tends to be the big challenge with like marketing them.
Yeah. And everyone involved in the decision is doing their own research and, you know, they're looking stuff up on weekends. So they need to be able to find a lot of information, which I just find that cool. Even small, medium businesses, again, you probably work with different sizes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of, I have two different clients I'm working with. One just found a new niche software to their industry, and it's like changing their whole business for what seems like an expensive investment, but really isn't. And I just think it's cool how they found it, and to work with businesses like that would be exciting. To for you to like, how do you get noticed and how do you start up and how do you wiggle your way into these, you know, enterprises or whatever the size of the business is?
The funny thing is, like, the fundamentals are pretty much the same, and I feel like it would be the same fundamentals for like even a local business. Like, so whether it's like a large international software company or a local business, like, the fundamentals of the marketing is pretty similar. It's like, okay, you know, how do you get seen more on Google, and so that you rank higher for the, you know, the keywords your customers are searching for? How do you create better content online, whether that's like on social media or on your website? You know, building an email newsletter and using email as a channel. Like, most of the channels are pretty much the same.
Yeah.
It's so there's not a huge difference. I don't think it's like.
I agree, because I find I get the question sometimes from people where they're like, have you worked with this industry before? I say yes, people are ecstatic. Perfect. I say no, and they're like, ooh, we've not worked with this industry. You must not know what you're doing. They don't say that, but that's what they're insinuating. Mm-hmm. In my head, what you just said is like, it's all the same. It's all the foundational, like fundamental. Yeah. It's all the same. So.
Yeah, I think there's value and wisdom and perspective and having a guide who knows the market from a not going to make big mistakes way, but yeah, the fundamentals really are the same.
Definitely. I run into that same question, like, even just in software, like, they'll be like, oh, have you worked with this type of financial software, though? Like, we're fintech. Have you done any fintech clients? And I'll be like, if I say yes, exact same thing, you're excited about it. But if I say no, I'm like, no, but you're exactly the same as every other software company that has come before you, and you like, and that will come after you. There's no real fundamental difference.
I think it's so funny. Even fintech, there was like the, I kind of casually follow fintech, and there was all these clients or companies I was following through my teaching, and I look back at my lessons from every year, and like, they're all gone now.
Yeah.
And it's like, in a way, it's like, you want to answer no, or it's like, yes, I worked with all of these companies that ended up failing, because that's just the nature of the business. They either fail, or maybe they get bought up, or they get bought up and closed down. It's kind of part of that world.
I get it a lot with content now too, mm-hmm. where I talk about, okay, we're going to like write content for you every month, or like web pages. And they're like, oh, you're going to do that. How could you do that? Like, you're not in the business. You're not in this industry. And I don't know. It's easy, man. Like, we're just writing web pages here. I think they think like we're writing textbooks or something like that. And it happens where I found too, I've learned with more academics, professional services like accountants, bookkeepers, lawyers, who are used to, frankly, reading every word and hanging on every word. But then when it comes to someone like me as a marketer, and I don't read 90% of the stuff that passes through me or passes by me, like it's just not that difficult.
So. Yeah. Yeah, you're like, we're writing for skimming right now. Yeah. Like, the people reading this are just skimming this. Yeah. So let's make it shorter. That's like the thing I hammer to my team all the time. I'm like, make this shorter. Like, please, just please, like, make this shorter. Like, take those five sentences you wrote and turn it into two. Yeah. my general rule of thumb.
Yeah. That's why I'm so bad at writing content. Mm-hmm. Like, I can do ad copy. I love that. I can do social posts. I've never written a web page, though, because I can take a web page and I can combine it into two sentences and I can get the entire point across.
Yeah, it's so neat. I love those nuances, because sometimes it depends who your target is. Yeah. Right? If you're trying to sell accountants, you're going to need to feed those accountants. But unless you're not selling to accountants, well, you don't need to worry about that too much. So.
Yeah, it is true. Definitely there are some nuances to, who their audience is. Like, you're right, like accountants or a lot of companies I'll work with, they're targeting developers and software developers. And so, like, you have to, with software developers, you know, they see through the BS, and so you got to just cut right to it. I think overall, a lot of the fundamentals are the same, regardless of the business. And so, what we do is, I feel like what we do a lot of is, like, content, analytics, search engine optimization, which just like I always just tell people, that just means getting you higher in Google, which everyone understands, and that's really kind of a core part of the business.
What's your business's name even?
So the business name is just Sean Regal Consulting, and it's funny because off the podcast recently, I had this chat with Brian, and I was like, Brian, do I need to rebrand? Like, do I need an agency name? And it was like weighing on me, thinking like, so I have all these plans for 2024, and like, you know, as everyone does, this is going to be the year, right? And like, this is going to be the year the business, you know, takes off and becomes, you know, more than just myself is the plan. And so I was asking Brian, like, do I need a new name? Like, do I need to rebrand this into like an agency? But I feel like you had great advice about it, which was like, Brian was just saying like, no, like, don't worry about any of that. Like, you can just be the face of the business. Like, just use your name. Like, people are coming to you because you have expertise in this area. And I think you're right. Like, my name is what's gotten me all these clients that I have so far, because it's basically just tied to my experience and my work history. And I've done this for, you know, I've done XYZ for these companies, and I can do it again for yours. And no one cares whether then, you know, what the name of the agency is.
I bet you close to half the people that I work with don't know my company's name. Mm-hmm. They know it as me, Matt, Matty G, Matt Garrity, whatever.
Yeah.
I learned that years ago because I had the same sort of thought. Because my mentor at one time told me, he's like, if you ever want to like sell the business, you're going to have to like change your name. I was like, I don't know if that's true. Or sure, we'll deal with that. And I've bounced that around a lot, too, with Brian and other people.
Yeah. And if you want to sell it, to be honest, people are buying the book of business and your processes and all of that, and they can just change the name. And you just, you know, you hand over the relationship. So it's like Matty G Digital is now, you know, some random name company, and people don't care as long as they get continuation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would think about changing your name either.
No, I don't think so. I think, honestly, like what you said, I think even less of my clients know that the business name is Sean Regal Consulting. And the only reason it is Sean Regal Consulting is because, again, I started it up and when I was just freelancing, and I was just like, oh, I need to like fill out some government forms here really quickly and create a business name. And, you know, I'm just going, like, I'm not taking time to think about it. And I'm just like, well, I'll just add consulting to the end of my name. and call it a day, and that's just what it is now. And I think none of my clients know what that is. Probably only the accounts payable teams.
Yeah.
at their companies where I send the invoices to, only they maybe know the actual legal name. But yeah, I don't think it matters.
That's funny. I had no idea you guys had that conversation. Yeah. But here I was just sitting, I was like, I have no idea what this guy's business name is. Yeah. And it doesn't matter though.
Does this guy even have a business?
Do you
even know that? Yeah. This is all just a charade.
Just a charade.
Yeah. Just to convince me to have
just
coffee
to golf
with you?
Just to golf, yeah. Just to find a golfing buddy. It's all this. Yes. I got a 9-to-5. I got to get back to it.
Perfect. Yeah.
Elaborate pranks.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I was that much of a liar. I don't actually. I just mean, like, sometimes I feel like I'm really honest and just, like, or... Which is a good thing, obviously. But, like... You hear about, do you ever feel like you're like, oh, I'm just like really honest, and then you hear about people like bending truths or lying for like personal or financial gain, and you're like, oh, dang, you can do that? Like,
I always, when people come and they have imposter syndrome, I always will tell some stories like that. People who, you know, you think this person's this big, famous, awesome person, and I have lots of stories from working in banking of people who I thought were like the richest, best business people around. Mm-hmm. And then you go to do it, they come in because they want a loan for something, and you have to do a net worth statement and start digging, and you realize they have like nothing. Mm-hmm. Or they're like, you know, I remember the first time I saw this business I thought was so awesome at running business, and it was like they lost $100,000 that year. Mm. It was the first $100,000 loss I had seen on financials. And now I just assume, you know, everyone's kind of like that. So
yeah.
And people get by, and you know, things happen. So just be yourself.
Absolutely. You haven't been working in tech then if $100,000 losses jumps out at you. I was like, $100,000 loss? Oh, that's like, that's nothing compared to some of these companies I work with.
Which is
a mistake on their end, but I won't get into it.
That's a cool thing too, because I have this lovely, you know, book and things I've read, and it's like, why startups fail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost all because they... it's related to marketing. It's like they can't market and get enough clients to get the revenue to outpace the marketing. Or they have, sometimes they're a famous company and everyone's like, oh, they're everywhere, they're doing so well, but they're spending so much in marketing to get that that they're just losing everything.
Running at a loss.
And in tech, everyone runs at, you know, any startup, you're running at a loss. There's sunk costs, there's all sorts of things for a certain amount of time. And they just kind of run out. But in your world, those numbers are just bigger.
Yeah. And that sort of running at a loss mentality is starting to change in tech. It's like not fully gone yet, but there's like early signs now of everyone's like the new, I've been seeing a lot of people talking about that book, Profit First, is making waves, even though it's not a new concept at all. I mean, who knew a business had to make money? It's like brand new news to a lot of people in tech. That businesses have to make money.
Well, I think for a while, I love this, because there's these attitudes in certain sectors when it's like other people's money and all these things just happen, and everyone's like, they're laying down a bet. So, you know, you'll dive in and you'll find out nobody's working for much cash. They might have all equity, and they made that decision based on seeing someone else, like these big buyouts and, you know, all of this stuff happens, and they're just okay with these big losses or like spending without actually sitting down and planning out how they're going to make money.
Yeah, tech is a bit of a weird industry because it's backed by like big venture capital, and so you're right, it's basically big venture capital money making bets consistently, knowing that 9 out of 10 bets are going to fail, and they know all those they know 90% of the businesses they invest in will fail, and they're okay with that because they're just placing a bet that the one win will pay for the rest of the losses plus some. So that's like a big adjustment when you start working in that industry as like as an employee, but also even as me, I guess, as a, you know, a business that services and works with these companies, is that you have to maybe realize and keep in mind that, let's say you're an employee at one of these tech startups, like, you know, your job is not safe, and like odds are, 90% odds are this business will fail at some point.
Wow.
And you need a bit of a parachute to get out or have some sort of game plan. to get out. But I don't think most employees, when you're in it, you don't think it. When I was in it, I didn't think that.
Oh, because you get so excited.
You're so excited. Yeah, you've got the mission. It's so fun. You've got a little equity in it, and so you've got a small stake in it, and you're like, this is it. This is my million-dollar ticket.
Are startups still buying ping pong tables?
I think some are. It's definitely going down. I haven't been in the office as much. I think the pandemic probably killed
killed
a lot of ping pong tables. I'm willing to bet if you go online, there's a huge used market for ping pong tables, beer taps, everything. I mean, even like Twitter, they sold off all the furniture in their offices and like all the stuff. And there was definitely a lot of deals on office furniture.
What's the big trend? I guess standing desks. What about the walking standing desks? One of those are like with the desk attached to the treadmill. That's probably the big thing now.
I think that is the big thing. I won't lie, I've looked at one or two. It is definitely the big thing. But I like the standing desks you guys have here. After coming into the Thrive office, I was like, I need to get one of these.
It's so nice. Especially like if you are active and like standing up, and it feels so much better. So
yeah, I use it when I coach. If I'm standing up, it's just different energy, and then I teach a bit online, and that's like, it's just nice to be able to stand.
I do all my calls standing up now because to me it's kind of like game time.
Yeah,
if I'm sitting, I don't have that energy.
I literally have been thinking the exact same thing. Like I'm sitting on client calls and I'm so low energy.
Yeah,
I feel like it makes you feel like meek and like you're like it almost like you feel, it's like this weird psychology of like versus standing. Yeah, the energy of like. Of pitching or a deal or even just like an update with a client. Like I just right before this had a client update call, and of course I'm sitting at it because I don't have a standing desk, and I felt weird and like it just felt strange. Like I'm just like this weird guy sitting in my home.
They ended that Zoom. They're like, we're gonna fire that guy. He was sitting down the whole time.
I didn't like his vibe. I mean, they were sitting down too in their living room or whatever. That's like the only good thing, I guess, that came out of the pandemic is that like a lot of people are working from home.
Yeah.
Which leveled the playing field for guys like me who work from home before as well too.
Yeah.
It made it like it normalized it a bit, which is helpful for me.
It's true because there used to be that idea that if you're working from home, you were lazy and you weren't working as hard. But now everyone's just doing it and kind of gets it, which is nice.
Yeah, I started doing it back in 2015. I was like semi-remote for years and would only go into the office like one day a week, 2 days a week, and it was people did think it was strange, and like my parents definitely didn't even think I had a job and they didn't believe that it was real, but that definitely changed.
It's funny to think now too. I hate the idea of having to go into the office even once a week. Like, what is the point? I have contractors and people I work with and I text and I'm very friendly with, and I've never met them in real life, and I've worked with them for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's changed. It's affected nothing.
Yeah.
I would like to meet them. I don't need to.
It's the exact same thing here, too. So, like, my company is really global in that I have clients in the EU. Like a handful of my clients are in Paris. A lot are in the US. Some are here in Canada, but even the ones locally in Toronto, I've never met. some are in Vancouver. So we're really all over the place. And my team is spread across here, Sri Lanka. There's some in India. Some are in England. And same thing, contractors I've never met. And almost, I'd say actually all my clients, I've never met any of them in person until very recently. One of them was in town from Paris a few weeks ago, and she'd let me know in advance, hey, I'm gonna be in Toronto on this date, and so like she'd been a client for a couple of years, and so I went down and met up with her, which was nice, and it was this weird sort of familiar, like we know each other so well.
Yeah.
We've been working together for 3 years now, but have never like physically met in person, which was nice.
I'm laughing because like I have clients in Lindsay and Bob Cajun, and we're like, do we really want to go meet in person? We do most of our stuff on Zoom, and the one in Bob Cajun, every time, like, for the first couple of months, I kind of felt weird about it. And, like, I wasn't the one going to visit her, but I was like, do you want to come down and visit me? She's like, no. And she's like, I'm like, do you want me to come see you? She's like, no. I'm like, it's 30 minutes, but I'm like, nah, whatever.
Yeah, like, we don't need this.
We don't need this. Yeah, it's totally
like,
fine.
Yeah, sometimes it's nice if it works out. Like, and it's kind of a cool thing, too, when you work with people, you know, from different parts of the world that you can connect. So Matt and I connected in Vegas with someone Matt had worked with for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
But that was just like a fun coincidence. So you make it work. And I do think in some, you know, businesses, like, being in person a bit helps, but absolutely, this type of business you don't need to be. But
it's I don't think you need to be, but I do think it helps. I would like, especially even for my team. I've been thinking this lately. I'm a huge advocate of like remote work, and my team will always be remote. But I have been thinking lately, like, oh, I should probably, like, we should plan to meet up, and I should try and like meet up with the team, maybe even if we just do it once a year. You know, that would be good, and do like, you know, an in-person meetup. The logistics around it are a nightmare to try and kind of think through, and obviously there's the costs of it, but I think there is a lot of value just even in cohesion and bonding. Back when I worked for that company in Vancouver, we would do that like a couple times a year. Like, we'd go to Vancouver, or someone from there would come into Toronto. And so we would see each other enough that, like, once or twice a year, at least, there was some FaceTime. And then it does, I do think for a team, it makes the bond stronger for sure.
Mm-hmm. I remember pitching to a client or a business I was working with, and they spent like $250,000 a year on their rent. And it was a type of business where everyone could be remote. And I remember pitching or just saying, you know, for $250,000 a year, you could have everyone work remote and just like rent out a cool hotel for a couple weekends a year. And it's like way cheaper. And they thought that was the most insane idea ever. Yeah, I know some companies, that's what they do. Like, you know, they have quarterly meetings or three times a year or once a year. And they just fly everyone into a city, and they, you know, rent some hotels and buy some dinners, and they get to know each other. And
for like a couple dozen people, that's like $50,000. Like, it's like all in compared to like the $250,000.
Apples to apples, it's that makes sense.
Yeah, a lot of companies I've worked with and companies I've, you know, been a part of in the past, that's how we did things. Yeah, just the annual or semi biannual meetup.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes sense. I'm trying to make an excuse to go see some of my clients in Paris, which is like partially also just an excuse of I want to go to Paris. I've told them like, hey, just, you know, I'm going to try to get out there at some point. But I do like how kind of global the company is, and like how it just happened by accident. That just kind of happened by, like, you know, with software, there's no real borders. Anyone can buy software anywhere. So that's just the nature of it, is that customers can be anywhere.
That's good ad copy, by the way.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, software has no borders. Yeah, exactly. It is good. I like that it's sort of given me a sort of global network. Actually, like a couple days ago, this a former client of mine, she messaged me and she was asking, and she told me, hey, I'm trying to move out to Ireland. And she wanted to make a move from Toronto to Ireland. And she was asking, hey, do you happen to have any contacts there? And I was like, that's a good question. Like, I don't know, actually. And so, you know, I fired up my LinkedIn, and I was like, let me see who I know in Dublin. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I actually know quite a lot of people in Dublin that I, you know, just didn't come to mind right away. And it was great. I was able to connect her with a handful of people in Ireland who were happy to chat with her and, like, you know, help out and see if they can then, you know, help her secure a job out there and, you know, make the transition and make the move. And I just felt like really grateful. I feel like it was like a nice feeling to be like, A, I like helping people, and that was like nice. I just want to help this person. B, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Like, I can't believe I know six people in Dublin that I could like message. Like, that's random, and I wouldn't have. I didn't even think that was possible, but like, it just happened to.
Yeah, that's just one of the cool things about business today. Like, you take for granted, like, I go on calls every week with people from all over the world, and it's like 10 years ago, this didn't happen the same way, and they're like friends, people you like. You find out you know people in other countries that can help people out, and I just think it opens up a whole new world of opportunity.
I just also was sitting here thinking, like, oh, I'm like so sheltered I just only know people around here, but I'm thinking the two contractors that I first like started growing the business with were from Milwaukee. I still talk to them. She just had a baby recently. The other one's like Southern Sarah, who's in, where is she? Georgia. Ireland is another one. Started working with someone in India recently. Nice. Like, it's slowly starting to become very global, which is fun.
Yeah, you're a global business owner.
Global business.
So you could be a global business leader of the year.
Global. You have a strong local network, though, which I think, to be honest, like, there's more power, I think, and, like, there's like, more direct benefit to your business, number one, but even also just, like, on a personal, like, individual level, like, what's going to impact your life more? Like, what's going to impact my life more? A couple random connections in, like, Ireland and, you know, all around the world probably will have less of an impact overall than, like, actually knowing people in the place, like, you live and, like, call home. Like, those are people who, like, you're going to call on for, you know, almost anything in life, I feel like.
I used to joke before, when I was employed, like, two agencies ago, that I worked with, I still think, probably the best employment lawyer in Toronto and one of the best divorce lawyers in Toronto. And I always joked, much to my wife's chagrin, that I was, like, always taken care of personally and professionally if things ever went sideways. And I honestly, I've never actually really thought about it until right now, but it is true. Like, I feel very well taken care of here. Like, I've got HVAC guys that I go to, and they've come over to my house to, like, help me with stuff. They charge me sometimes, more often than not, but they're like, they're there to help and support, and electricians and plumbers and custom cabinetry and all the legal stuff, and I'm very well taken care of here, which is cool. So that was always my intention, though. I hear it a lot of people that have agencies up here, and they kind of roll their eyes and like, oh, we've got an agency up here, but we don't work here. Like, they don't want to work with anybody locally. And I kind of was like,
that's an older idea that is ingrained. I used to get that in the bank a lot because people would be like, they don't want certain people to see, you know, how well they're really doing, or I don't know, they don't want their people being, oh, I don't want my business being talked about all around town.
And I wanted to, like, come here and do great marketing for the local community. And I did that, and then I had a time where, I still have a time where the business is growing and changing, and I'm charging, like, five times as much as I was years ago. And I felt guilty about that at a time, but now I've kind of come to terms with, like, I can do great work, and there's people that are like, well, there's no money here. You can't charge what you want to charge in Lindsay and Kortha Lakes. And I'm like, not true. I found some, and I will find more.
Yeah.
And that's exciting to me.
Yeah. So. And you've proved it out, right? Like, your clients are a proof point for anyone else. It's like, you know, hey, these companies do this and work with me, and this is, they know this is what I charge, and it's clearly valuable to them.
It used to be a big disproportion, too. Like, I would be charging someone, like, $2,200 and $100. I had like 30 different accounts the day before COVID, technically. Then I lost half of them. And it used to be, if I lost that $2,200 one, it would be like big problems. Like, that would be catastrophic.
Yeah.
Now, yes, like, I don't want to lose stuff, but I lose $2,500 account. That sucks. I'm not taking that for granted, but it's kind of like, it's all kind of leveled out, which is nice.
It's cushioned out.
Yes.
That's something I need to, like, do more of, I feel like, this year, is diversify a little bit. What I kind of realized was last year, all of my clients, and they still are, so I haven't done a good job on this, but all my clients are in tech, and there was a big tech recession at the end of 2022 and, like, Q1 of 2023. And it basically, all of 2023, like, tech was impacted by it, and it was budget freezes and budget cuts and mass layoffs across the whole industry. And I was like, oh shoot, every client I serve is in this one industry. And so when that industry takes a hit, I took a huge hit. Like, yeah, a bunch of clients had to cancel because they're, you know, they were like, hey, sorry, we love you, we love your work, but you know, this is coming from the CFO, and the CFO has said pause every bit of spending on anything. And so that impacted my business a lot last year, and I kind of realized, like, oof, I should probably not put all my eggs in just like one basket, and like, maybe I do need to, like, you know, work with some, I don't know, other industries like insurance and banking and other things like that to just like diversify the portfolio a bit, so that when one cancels or two cancel, it doesn't impact as hard.
I've never thought about that, but it makes perfect sense. And because you hear when you start an agency or any business, like, well, find your customer and who you want to serve and just focus on them.
Mm-hmm.
But if I wanted to just sell to HVAC companies, like, there's good and bad about that. But if there was an issue with, like, what you just talked about, you're going to lose them all. Or if you just, you were the best roofing marketer in Ontario, you're going to lose a whack of business. Every winter. Right? Because the market's going to be the first thing that goes.
Seasonal, yeah. So, yeah, my clap back to that is I would plan that in, because if you're the best roofing marketer, you know that roofing market. I think something like tech, you know, there are external forces where you're over-diversified. At the same time, it's always a trade-off, because some niching and developing that is a way to build your business. But then there comes a natural time where you diversify a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I find sometimes people try to diversify too much too soon, and then they just lose focus and traction. So
yeah,
there's no perfect answer.
That's good advice. Yeah, to be honest, I'm probably too early to diversify too much. Like, there's still a massive like blue ocean ahead of me of like opportunity within just tech and focusing on that. So I probably should just focus on that, especially since the sector is like started to recover a bit.
Yeah, and I think it's a sector that's not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
People are still going to be trying to solve problems for different types of businesses.
I'm always fascinated with software, too, because like, I'm not very imaginative, and especially when it comes to software. We're like, what new software can be invented at this point? To me, like, people are like, oh, I want to build my own CRM. I'm like, why? Use HubSpot. Like, there's one that they do it already. Or when we were looking at booking software for Thrive. And I was like, well, we can piece it together. I'm like, why would we do that? And like, of course, there's like co-working booking softwares out there. We did find it was a nightmare to work with them. And we kind of have regressed back to like an internal thing that we're doing. We're using Squarespace and like Acuity. Which has been better than the actual like co-working booking softwares. Not to get too much off track. Because I was like, the people that made this software never ran
a co-working space.
They didn't even know how to book appointments. And that was the biggest problem.
Yeah.
And there's questions we would be asked, and like, well, you don't need to do that. I'm like, but like, this is happening in real life right now. How are you going to deal with this? Like, oh, we have to like code it in or it won't happen. I'm like, cool, figure it out.
It's always a game playing. Yeah. And like, there was a time where someone said the 486 computer is more computing power than any household would ever need. Right, and that's like, things have changed far beyond that. That's like 30 years ago. And things are not going to just stop, right? We're not going to just stop developing new softwares or solving new problems. That's kind of the exciting part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an exciting, it's a bit of a strange time. It's like where you've got like AI now, and that's sort of like a big inflection point happening right now in like, not just tech, but even also in like what we're doing of marketing stuff, where it's like this huge inflection of, okay, it's here, genie's not going back in the bottle, so now it's like adjusting to that sort of new world where this exists. I don't know if you've been seeing it all with any clients or anyone asking you about it or saying like, oh, I would like, I don't want to pay for writing because I'll get the AI to write it for me. I haven't run into it too much, but I've seen it a little bit. It might also just be because like people in tech are generally like early adopters, obviously, of new technology. So they're all excited about it and all buzzing about it. And, but it's like, so now I'm trying to kind of think about like, okay, where, how do I sort of like future proof the business in a way to like not get pushed out by, AI. And so we're using AI as well in the agency, and like I'm trying to like improve all our operations with it, do, you know, do certain tasks faster with it. But I am seeing it, like, it's getting to the point where, like, it's, and I feel like a lot of people don't even know this, but it's getting to the point where, like, the AI is basically writing new software as well. So even, like, the old, like, oh, you got to learn how to code. That's going to save your jobs, kid. Like, go learn that code, kid. Even that's gone out the door, and even the coders are terrified because it's coding better than they can now.
My advice to you, and you didn't really ask it, but I'll give you my advice, the future, like, code it or whatever, is I am still convinced that people don't care most about the work that's being done, and they care more about me and the relationship and the value that I am bringing. Mm-hmm. And it's not just my big head. I think it's truly they want to know my experiences, my knowledge. Remove the task from what you're doing. Mm-hmm. As much as we're selling tasks and tactics, don't talk about that. Don't, like, that's not the reason why they're buying from you. They're buying you.
Mm. Still your perspective.
Yeah.
Your ideas.
You're the guide,
your
right?
Experience. You are the guide with the plan.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. You will never remove, AI will eventually, one day maybe, think like us. Mm-hmm. From that perspective, it won't be any time in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. My experience with the AI stuff is it sucks. Mm-hmm. The writing. I've not really been happy with anything. Mm-hmm. I can tell. I will challenge any person that I work with to give me work they've done or AI. I can tell you which one was AI.
People could tell it, or they'll, like, you can be tell, entertained for a bit, but humans want to buy stuff from humans.
Yeah.
Right?
And
it's a tool.
Yeah. And frankly, people can do marketing themselves. It's not rocket science, right? Like, it's marketing. It's just about, like, bringing our experience, our knowledge. Yeah. That won't change with AI. Because if we're practicing using it now, and 10 years from now, software engineer guys, like, I'm going to start AI, doing AI marketing. And he's like, I got to learn from scratch. We're like, well, why would he do that? And he can come to you. Mm-hmm. You've already found a way to leverage it.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm, because I was hesitant for a long time. And I reached out to two other agency friends of mine. And I'm like, what are you guys, like, doing with AI? And they're like, oh, we're writing with it all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's just basically they get it all written and then they copy edit it. And like, that's that role. But the idea, like, the person that's going to hire you is not going to be able to do that at the capacity you're going to do. So.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Awesome. Great conversation to end us off on. Any final thoughts? How do the people find you?
Oh, they can find me, my website, I guess, is the best place. SeanRagel.com. That's SeanRagel.com. It's actually funny. I, like, ran the business for, like, 2 whole years without a website. And I was a marketer, a digital marketer. Running a marketing business without a website.
That means you're really good at it. And I've just been kind of doing some quick math here in my head. When did you start the business, did you say?
June 2020.
Yeah. So, like, 3 years ago, four years ago?
Basically 3.5, yeah.
And then your daughter is 3 years old.
Yeah.
I think it's so amazing and cool that you are so not scared, at least, it doesn't seem like, of, like, jumping in to this. And you hear more often than not, people are like, I've got this great idea, I've got this business, I can't do it right now, I need to go make X amount of money. And I love that you've just jumped in, risk aside, head first. So much uncertainty with a kid and a growing family. I think that's amazing. You should be really proud.
Thanks, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us. This has been great. If you'd like to be on the podcast, reach out to us at setitup@coworthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.